Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, where we read as follows, in the name of Jesus. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbors. These words are familiar. They are the words that have been called the Ten Commandments. I'd like to talk a little bit about the Ten Commandments this morning and to pay particularly close attention to this significant point. To whom did God give these commandments? When and where did he give these commandments? One of the things that we can tell simply by reading through them is that the Ten Commandments describe for us what is right and what is wrong in simple, clear words that apply to people of all generations. But it's important that we recognize that these commandments were tailor-made specifically for a particular nation at a particular time. Let me look at the first two verses once more. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So, to whom did God give the Ten Commandments? He did not give them to the Norwegians or the Swedes or the Germans. He didn't give them to the Latvians or the Kenyans. He didn't give them to the Americans. He gave them to the Israelites. They were the ones who spent 400 years in Egypt in slavery. They were the ones that God called out of slavery. He brought them out of the land of Egypt. He brought them out of the house of bondage. And it was to them that he spoke the words of the Ten Commandments. Now, here's a simple question of cause and effect, a chronological question, if you will. What happened first? Did he first give them the Ten Commandments, telling them what type of a life they must live? Or did he first bring them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage? Well, any Sunday school child knows that he first took them out of Egypt by the miraculous delivery from Pharaoh, the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea. He set them free from bondage before he gave them the law that they must then obey. Now, anybody who's going to teach that God gave the law in order to teach us how we may gain spiritual freedom, how we may gain eternal life, is clearly teaching contrary to the Ten Commandments, because God set his people free before he even gave them a single commandment. He rescued them when they were powerless to rescue themselves, when they were being treated not only as slaves, but in a cruel fashion. They were being persecuted, and it got worse and worse. They could not set themselves free. God set them free without any help from them. And in setting them free, after he set them free, he gave them his law to obey. And this teaches us the purpose of the Ten Commandments. The purpose of the law is not to show us how to become righteous and how to find peace with God. As the hymnist puts it, it was a false, misleading dream that God his law had given, that sinners could themselves redeem and by their works gain heaven. So first God sets them free, and then he gives them his law. One point that we need to point out here is that the Bible doesn't mention the commandments according to numbers. It doesn't say this is the first commandment, and this is the second commandment, and this is the third commandment, and so forth. Sometimes Christians get into debates about this when you really can't settle it from the scriptures. There are basically two ways of numbering the commandments. Some take the first commandment and divide it into two, so they'll have the first commandment as "You shall have no other gods before me," and then they'll have the second commandment as "You shall not make for yourself a carved image." Others make keep that as one commandment and subsume "You shall not make yourself any carved image" under the first commandment. And then they have two commandments for coveting at the end. It doesn't really matter a whole lot, except to point out that the biblical numbering simply doesn't exist, because the Bible doesn't say which is first, second, third, fourth. On the other hand, the very first commandment is by far the most significant. You shall have no other gods before me. These teach us how to love God. You are to love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your heart. You are to love God more than anything. Who is he? The first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods." You are to worship only the true God. And that, of course, is the God who has revealed himself in Christ. The second commandment deals with God's reputation. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Do not dishonor the name of God. If you are a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, then live like a Christian. And don't promote lies about God as if what God has to say isn't crystal clear. The third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now here we need to recall that God gave this law specifically for Israel, and he gave it to them as not only the opportunity to worship God on a Saturday, because the Sabbath was Saturday, but also this was civil law. They were not to work, and they were to have a day off, which is a good idea for every generation. Some people have argued that this Sabbath law applies to the Christian church as well. But St. Paul in Colossians makes it very clear. He says, don't let anyone judge you when it comes to these holy days, to these Sabbaths, because these were a shadow of what was to come, but the substance is in Christ, from Colossians chapter 2. The first three commandments are sometimes called the first table of the law. They teach us how to love God. And then the next seven commandments, commandments 4 through 10, teach us how to love our neighbor. You sum them up simply with the command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. God has given us various gifts that he uses to bless us in the lives we live here on earth. Let's go through these commandments and see how the commandments are designed to protect the gifts that God has given. The fourth commandment, you shall honor your father and your mother. This is designed to protect the home. The fifth commandment, you shall not murder. This is designed to protect the body and the physical well-being that we want to enjoy. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. This is designed to protect marriage and the institution of marriage. The seventh commandment, you shall not steal. This is designed to protect our property. It teaches that there is such a thing as private property. The eighth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. This is designed to protect our good name, our reputation. The ninth and the tenth commandments, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or anything else that belongs to your neighbor, teach us that we should be as concerned about what our neighbor needs as we are concerned with our own needs. Now, if you take a look at these Ten Commandments, you see that they are reflected in civil law throughout the ages, more or less, but you also see that they act as a mirror, showing us that we haven't loved God with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbor as ourself. When you look at this law, if you don't look beyond the law, you will be condemned, because God's law works wrath. It shows the anger of God against sinners. But Jesus came into this world to fulfill the law. Everything that the law demanded of you, Jesus did. And he didn't do so grudgingly or only in an outward way, but in holy obedience, he perfectly fulfilled all the demands that the law made on you. More than that, he willingly suffered the punishment that the law required you to suffer. But Jesus took your place. He obeyed the law as your substitute. He suffered the punishment of the law as your substitute. And so he won for you forgiveness of all your sins, freedom from the condemnation of the law, reconciliation with God. He won all of this for you, and he gives this to you in his gospel. The gospel that tells you that for Jesus' sake, your sins are forgiven. For Jesus' sake, God sets you free from guilt. For Jesus' sake, God is at peace with you. More than that, he gives you the Holy Spirit, who now enables you to live a new life, a life that is empowered by this love of God, this grace of God that comes from Christ and from Christ alone. So we look to the Ten Commandments. We see that they stand as a standard for human conduct. They condemn us all. But for Christ's sake, God forgives us and gives us everlasting life. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us. We invite you to attend the congregations of our parish. We have divine service Sunday morning at First Evanger in Fertile at 8 o'clock. At Grace Lutheran in Crookston at 9:30, and at First American in Mayville at 11:30. Please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.